Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Benyart Live. I'd like to share with you today the open letter to Tony Campolo from a friend of Bob Benyart Live. I've been on Dr. Michael Brown's radio program on occasion, and he's been on our program. This is written because, and it was published in Charisma News, because Tony Campolo, who's for decades been a leading voice in the church, speaker, author, written dozens of books, professor at a Christian university. And he, of course, has publicly stated now, he released a statement 2 weeks ago, saying that the church needs to fully accept homosexuals into the church. And we have a listener, Tom from Texas, who pointed out that, well, at least Tony Campolo has an excuse. And I thought, Tom, what do you mean he has an excuse? So, Campolo, I have a statement right here. We'll go through some of it. But he said, in my own life, my wife Peggy has been, you know, such a great influence on him. And he said, one reason I am changing my position on homosexuality is that through Peggy, I have come to know so many gay Christian couples. And so Tom points out that at least he has an excuse. He'll be able to say to God on Judgment Day, it was that woman you gave me. That's why I jettisoned the Bible's warnings and condemnation of homosexuality. That's why. So we'll talk about that. I'd like to go through Michael Brown's open letter, which was just so excellent. But first, a quick comment. If you're tuning in right now to Bob Benyart Live, right? It's a Christian, Bible-based talk show about the news of the day, moral principles. Every Friday we do Real Science Radio on origins, creation, evolution. Thursdays are Theology Thursday. We go through the Bible issue by issue, verse by verse. We have such a good time studying God's Word. And there are many conservative talk shows where they're not Bible-based. And we've been warning people for years, so I'm going to just make a comment about if Christians were tuning into Sean Hannity's radio program today. He has a guest host on, but it's just like if you were listening to Sean, same thing. But a conservative today, what is a conservative? Like you're tuning into conservative radio, say, or TV on Fox News. A conservative is a Republican trying to save a social program started by a liberal. That's what a conservative is today, and that's about it. Save Medicaid, Medicare, save Social Security, save government health care, save Obamacare. And just a couple things of misinformation that was put out on Sean Hannity's show today. One, the fill-in host, they were talking about Obamacare, and they were the host felt compelled to defend Romney Care while condemning Obamacare. And of course, Mitt Romney is the father of Obamacare, but he said, well, the first thing the federal government should have done, the first thing is to get health care costs under control. Now, right off the bat, that's a socialist, left-wing idea. The government has no authority and shouldn't be telling doctors or hospitals or anyone what to charge for any service. It just has no authority. That's an interventionist approach to economics, and it backfires, as it has throughout history, especially in the last century and a half or so. And so Jesus pointed out that my money is my own and I could spend it how I want. If I want to have a business, if I want to pay some people a lot per hour, others a little per hour, can I not do with my money what I want to do? And if somebody wants to open up a medical service and charge a fortune, they have every right to do that. But why is it that medical costs are so high? The primary reason is because the government is so involved and so entrenched for decades. That's why the costs are so high. I'll give you an analogy that you'll have to, it's a thought experiment. Instead of the government saying, well, health care, we have to make sure that people have access to affordable health care. So we, the government, we're here to help and we're going to try to intervene and make sure this is all affordable. What if instead of doing that, what if they would have left health care alone and they would have said, iPads are almost essential today to function in society. iPads, smartphones, notebook computers, laptops, even desktop computers. You can't function without these information tools today. So the government, let's say the government had decided 25 years ago that they were going to subsidize the cost of all these gizmos and gadgets. And they're going to, in fact, subsidize your cell phone service, because everyone needs a cell phone. If you're disconnected from communication and from the internet, the information highway, I mean, it's almost a life and death matter. You just need information today to function. So the government's going to subsidize all that. So what do you think a smartphone would cost today? What do you think your iPad would cost today? What do you think your, do you think it's possible that your cell phone bill with your data plan of a half a gigabyte a month, you know, if the government subsidized it, it wouldn't be as good as it is, and it would be far more expensive. Is it possible that your cell phone bill might cost $3,000 or $4,000 a year? Is that possible? If the government had been subsidizing it since the early 90s, is that possible? The cell phone industry. Is it possible that your smartphone might cost $1,800? Is that possible? Is it possible that your iPad would cost triple what it costs today and it wouldn't be nearly as good? Is that possible? That's not all possible. That is certain, unless you're a lunatic. It's certain. So the reason that healthcare is so expensive is because the government is here to help. That's why. So the Sean Hannity clone who's filling in for him today, and he has an expert on Obamacare, and they're talking through it. He said, well, the first thing the government needed to do is to lower healthcare costs. And the idiot conservative expert on Obamacare just let that go, or sort of agreed or let it go, sort of consented in some way. And so a conservative today is a Republican trying to save a social program started by a liberal. So that's socialism, for the government to decide what your health care services should cost. You know, in England, it's an absolute crisis to get doctors. It's routine now where hospitals have only a skeleton staff of physicians in England. You know the documentary that we interviewed the filmmaker, Wait Till It's Free, about Obamacare? And we, part of the documentary, we had an airing of this. Colin Gunn is the filmmaker, and he came to Denver Bible Church. We aired the video. It was just a wonderful time. And he went to Scotland because they've had government health care for many years now. And person after person, it's horrific, it's horrific, it's horrific. But don't worry, the Republicans are going to save Obamacare. It's not even Obamacare, it's Romneycare. It's Romneycare. It's Romneycare. Mitt Romney is the father of Obamacare. He introduced government health care reform before it was cool. He was for it before he was against it. And his had the individual mandate, which is the thing that all conservatives are outraged over. And he got a waiver so the federal government could kick in tens of millions of dollars so that no matter where you live in the country, you were paying for Massachusetts Obamacare before Obamacare was, you even knew who Obama was. And Mitt Romney's Obamacare when he was the governor of Massachusetts. It covered abortion right from day one. It covered abortion. But RomneyCare covered abortion right out of the box. Surgical abortion, on demand, late term. You name it, they paid for it. You paid for it. Oh, and then the host said this. I haven't checked this out, but taking the credibility of these conservative talking head trying to save social programs started by liberals talk show host, he said, oh, RomneyCare was only 50 pages. As to say, it was not evil. It was only 50 pages. I haven't looked it up. I'd love it if somebody looked up the bill that Mitt Romney signed and emailed us a link. I've researched swaths of that bill. I don't remember it being so teeny weeny. But at any rate, that's what you get if you tune in today to Sean Hannity, because that's not a Bible-based program. That's a Republican-based program. So they'll lie about the actual track record of the Republicans, and they'll exaggerate what the Democrats are doing. And so you don't get anything like an objective reporting of the news. You just don't get that. And as far as what is right and what is wrong, that's virtually completely irrelevant to most conservative talk radio. Okay, so back to Tony Campolo. The body of Christ is so massive, the church and the media, there's so many outlets. The media has split into thousands of distribution channels. So not everybody knows, of course, all the big names in any discipline. I mean, there'll be a number one Hollywood sitcom going off the air, and Cheryl and I will say, I've never heard of that. It's going off the air. We never heard of it. There'll be the number one pop singer in the country, and we never heard of him. So that's increasingly normal. But when I want to find out how big an impact somebody makes, I compare it to our own show, Bob and Yurt Live. I compare it to kgov.com, and I'll Google in quotes kgov.com, see how many pages on the internet Google spots for that, and I'll compare it to some other outlet that maybe I never heard of. Or let's say Tony Campolo versus Bob and Yurt. So I Google in quotes, in double quotes, Bob and Yurt, and Google tells me here there's about 64,900 pages that have my name on it. So 64,900. Now I'll do Tony Campolo. There's about 317,000 pages. So significantly larger, five times bigger impact. Much more of an impact than Bob and Yurt Live. I mean, Tony Campolo, he's got like 30 years on me or something. So he had a head start, but he's got a big impact. And so Dr. Michael Brown has released an open letter. Dear Tony, in the spirit of your public statement released yesterday, this is just a couple weeks ago, urging churches to welcome same-sex couples, I'm writing this open letter to you, appealing to you to reconsider your decision before you bring further reproach to the gospel and hurt those you want to help. Now, Michael Brown is very nice, extremely thoughtful, very wise. He's a bit nicer than I would be. I mean, I've already pointed out just on this show that Tony Campolo is probably going to say to God, it was that woman you gave me, right? Because his wife, he said, well, my wife kept introducing me to very nice homosexual couples. But Michael, Dr. Brown, takes a very loving tone when he admonishes someone. So he continues, like you, I am a professor as well as a gospel preacher, and I've always appreciated your willingness to tackle controversial issues, not caring who you will offend, willing to rock the boat and unsettle Christians from their cozy and safe belief systems if you felt it was in the interest of truth and justice. This time, however, you have offended the Lord, rejecting the clear testimony of his word, and as could be expected, given your stance, not citing a single scripture in support of your new position. Isn't that something? Good point, Michael Brown. I know that your wife, Peggy, has long been an out and proud advocate of same-sex marriage, and Michael Brown put marriage in quotes, and that for a number of years, you have believed that it is impossible for a person to change his or her sexual orientation. And that's delusional because there have been thousands of heterosexuals who end up homosexual, extremely common. So many homosexuals have been married and have kids. And there are thousands of former homosexuals who now fully identify as heterosexual. So that's just delusional. But anyway, that's been his position for years now. You have even explored the possibility of non-sexual, church-blessed, romantic, same-sex relationships. Now, that's bizarre. You see, when you are inclined to turn away from God's clear teachings, then you'll find every kind of twisted argument, perspective, from which to justify your rebellion. But let's continue with Michael Brown. Now you have taken the inevitable next step in giving your full backing to practicing homosexual couples, calling on the church to support and embrace them. You know what's interesting about Tony Campolo? The only way he discusses this issue is when he's talking about couples. It's so interesting. He never mentions one homosexual as an individual. In his statement, over and over and over and over, he mentioned homosexual Christian couples. So that, and there's a reason for that. It's tactical. He wants to obfuscate the Bible's clear teaching by bringing up marriage and pretending that it's only marriage that he's been confused about. And so he wants to argue that homosexuals should be married because that's what marriage is all about, you know. But in reality, of course, Tony Campolo is saying that if there is a 40-year-old guy who is very interested in teenage boys, well, then he's part of the church. He's to be fully accepted. Doesn't matter if he's married or not. What, is he now going to start discriminating against single people? So anyway, it's interesting to me that that it's like a magician trying to divert attention to what you're really saying. So he constantly is talking about couples when his argument obviously has nothing to do with whether you're a couple or not. It's just homos. And so, may I ask, Tony, writes Dr. Brown, what it was that stopped you from embracing this position years ago? Was it not the clear and unambiguous testimony of the Bible? Surely your emotions wanted you to embrace same-sex couples. Surely your compassion wanted you to put your arms around a homosexual college student and tell him that following Jesus did not preclude him from having an intimate relationship with another man. And Dr. Brown has such a great point here. I mean, Tony Campolo has wanted to support homos for years. So what stopped him? Is it that deep down he's really just a rotten person and he likes discriminating? He likes being a bigot? Or is what stopped him that the Bible clearly and repeatedly condemns homosexuality? Is that what stopped him? And of course that's what stopped him. And he has a career in Christendom. So if you anger Christians, then you're going to have less of a voice and earn less money. but he waited until the year the church goes gay, and that's when he came out of the closet, Tony Campolo, supporting homosexuality in the church. So he says, you were held back by the teaching of Scripture, knowing that God's word emphatically states that God created men for women and women for men, that marriage, in its divinely intended form, was the lifelong union of a man and a woman, and that homosexual practice was strictly forbidden in all circumstances. When did any of that change? When did the Bible suddenly become unclear on the subject? As a homosexual atheist wrote last month, after Ireland's vote to redefine marriage, Ireland voted for homo marriage. The homosexual atheist wrote, quote, "The conservative Catholic's only proper response to news such as that from Dublin is that 60% in a referendum does not cause a sin in the eyes of God to cease to be a sin." Right? And the homosexual, the point he's making, why would the homosexual say that? Because he wants to ridicule God. He assumes that most people reading what he wrote will agree that majority rules, and therefore the majority has just vetoed God. And the atheist will like that because he's a homo and he's an atheist. And he thinks there's no God, and he wants people to realize that if they band together, they could get a majority rule to veto God. That's why the atheist wrote that. What a terrible shame it is that a homosexual atheist has clearer moral boundaries and better biblical instincts than you do, dear sir. I believe you when you say you've heard all the biblical arguments on the subject. Now, I don't, because we found out that leading Christians have very superficial knowledge of the Scriptures. So, but Michael, Dr. Brown thinks that Tony Campolo heard all the biblical arguments. And I don't doubt that, quote, "It has taken countless hours of prayer, study, conversation, and emotional turmoil to bring me to the place where I am finally ready to call for the full acceptance of Christian gay couples into the church." Only couples. Individuals, they could be excommunicated. I don't believe that Tony Campolo has spent countless hours of prayer on this. Don't believe that. "And I recognize that it may be too late for any of us to reach you at this juncture in your life." Now, that's almost certainly true. "Still, I join my voice with others in the spirit of James chapter 5 and urge you to recognize that you are committing a grave sin against the Lord, against His church, and against your homosexual friends by espousing this new position. In fact, you are now complicit in the potential deception and destruction of both believers and unbelievers alike. You say it was your reflection on the meaning of marriage that ultimately brought about your change of heart, but can you really pick up your Bible and tell the world that there is a single verse that supports the marriage of two men or two women? Are you really willing to preside at a wedding ceremony and say, 'I now pronounce you husband and husband'? In your heart of hearts, do you honestly believe that God designed a man to be with a man, and that when a homosexual couple comes together, that their intimacy now sanctifies that forbidden practice? Tony, when same-sex couples read the word, what do they do with verses like, 'Wives, submit to your husbands'?" Good point. What do their kids do with all these Bible verses? "And husbands, love your wives? Which one is the husband and which one the wife?" Imagine a kid, a four-year-old kid growing up in a homo household, 7 years old, 10 years old, and he says, "Which one of you guys is my mother? Which one is my father?" I mean, it's just cruel to do this to children, to impose on them confusion even over what it means to be a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, a husband or a wife, a mother or a father. That is cruel. And Michael Brown continues to Tony Campolo, "You wrote, when we sing the old invitation hymn, Just As I Am, I want us to mean it. And I want my homosexual brothers and sisters to know it is true for them too. That is such a twisted perversion by Tony Campolo, but Michael Brown calls him out on it. Yes, Tony, it's true for them, just like it's true for the rest of us. When we come to Jesus in our brokenness and sin, he transforms us by his grace, just like he transformed the tax collectors and prostitutes of his day. He transformed them. He didn't affirm them in their sin. What an important point. Under no circumstance can I join you in your apostasy from God's word in terms of the meaning of marriage and the standards of sexual morality. And I pray that our Lord would have mercy on you and Peggy and grant you repentance. Now, there seems like a little bit of Calvinism coming through there. But with your typical candor, you stated that, quote, I am painfully aware that there are always ways I could be wrong about, and then the position you are now espousing. You are wrong, dear sir. And unless you were absolutely 100% sure of the scriptural truth of your position, you would have done far more good to keep silent than to speak. That would have been the least that we could have asked for a leader of your stature. You know when Christians say you have to do what you think is right? The Bible never says that. The Bible says the opposite. The Bible condemns those who did what was right in their own eyes. Those who do what is right in their own eyes, the Bible uses that to condemn them, not to defend them. So Michael Brown warns Tony Campolo. And he offers him the opportunity to dialogue, of course. And I'm so thankful for Michael Brown having the courage in these days to stand up for what is right, which you will be increasingly marginalized or worse if you simply remind people that God made us male and female. That today is a hate crime, to remind people what Jesus said. May God bless you.